So I think we're probably all here together now. I don't actually know how many there are, but it's nice to be, for me anyway, to be back here in this Dhamma energy community. It's funny for me how after this year or so being online all the time, it starts to feel like we're really, really together, you know? I mean, it's gonna be like, freak me out when I'm actually meeting people in person. I don't know how to deal with it anymore. Hopefully not, to be aware of it anyway. I just wanted to share a few reflections that are gonna be so obvious, I think, to all of us who've been doing this particular practice for a long time. And yet it's really close to my heart. And anyway, that's what how I want to start tonight, this afternoon. I think I mentioned it just briefly this morning. It's a phrase that's often used in Tibetan teachings, turning the mind towards the Dhamma, turning the heart towards the Dhamma. And they have a specific set of teachings about that, which isn't what I want to talk about right now. But this has been, for me, it's been at times an interesting year, being at home almost the whole time, which for me, you must know, I'm rarely at home or in my previous life, which may never happen again, more than 3 weeks at a time. I don't know what to do. I don't know what it means to be home for 6-8 months in a row. I really didn't. But that's not the point. The point is really the sense of being practicing in this particular style of this relaxed, receptive awareness and learning to recognize, learning to trust that in all activities, learning to remember bringing it in all activities. Well, so being at home has been interesting. And without a lot to do, I mean, I'm doing work online and stuff, but definitely there's a lot less to do unless you spend 24/7 on the media. Then there's way too much to do, but that's part of what's interesting, seeing what we choose to do with our minds. But anyway, in terms of this practice and what many of you have been practicing in all different styles of Vipassana, but in this one too, the sense of this mindfulness, sati, awareness with right view or with clear comprehension, clearly knowing whatever's arising right now. I think, I hope that you all know, as I know, and I've experienced like 10 million billion times, that in a moment, that simple presence of awareness with right attitude, without judgment, is so simple and available. There's nothing I need to do or create or change. It's so available. And I'm not just, you know, that's not theoretical. I know that. And I can only imagine that many, many, if not all of you also know that. No, yes, yes, no, anybody? You know it, right? And then where does it go? And so quickly. And so these retreats, what's been interesting for me is exploring at home. And then also I just finished a couple months ago, I did a 6-week self-retreat in another place away from home. So I had, it wasn't structured, but I had the support of just not being at home, which as you see calls us out a bit more. To see how even with total, I have real confidence in awareness, I know in my heart that steady awareness with right view reveals the truth, and the truth really frees the heart and mind from the entanglements of greed, hatred, and confusion. It's really such an amazing tool, path of awakening that the Buddha's offered us. I know that. And still, it is so quickly that knowing gets lost, that the sense of getting just sucked into the attention, the whole sense of being gets just sucked into whatever particular experience is arising in this moment. And it's just completely forget about awareness. Does anyone know what I mean? Right? No, not a clue, right? Never happened to you. And you think, oh, I mean, I used to beat myself up about it, right? You know this, you practice this, it's enough already, all these years, why can't you do it? And maybe some of you feel like that. You think maybe on this retreat, we're going to give you some new piece of instruction that's going to lock it in for you. Are you hoping for that? Sorry, folks. Whatever we know, we've learned from our teachers. Whatever we know, we've said 10 million times long ago. But we still need to keep practicing, to keep practicing. So when I go on a 6-week retreat and now I'm bringing that into home, it's like, yeah, part of me in the background, I think something special is going to happen. You know, you think I'd get over that, but it's in the background. Finally, you know, when nothing special happens, the mind settles down and go, oh, right. This is a chance to practice recognizing awareness. The mind in the retreat is not a different mind. But by having the group support here, or in self-retreat, I just had the support of being away from home, and having a structure of a few sittings, doing some walkings, having to tune in and listen to us remind you of what you already know, is really helpful because we just need to keep practicing the habit of trusting awareness. Because the habits that I'm assuming you're all, you know, pretty much human like me, but maybe I should just keep it personal. But the habits that are so strong that our life has been spent responding to whatever arises, something arises, we like it, we don't like it, it's good, it's bad, it's not worth paying attention to. What does it mean about me? And maybe we don't even recognize what arises because the mind has gone into a story about it so quickly, you know. You know, you can wake up really upset about a whole story of something that is not happening, did not happen in the past, may never happen, and you are really upset. And how did I get there? If we don't have awareness, we just get lost in that. With awareness, we might go, what happened? Oh, that memory came up of that TV show I saw 3 years ago, and that unpleasant thing happened on, and then boom, into incredible suffering. And it's all complete imagination, right? The habits of our mind of reactivity to whatever is arising, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all the thinking and emotions, our habits to be entranced by that, entranced by what's happening and entranced by our reactions to it, the mind's reactions, right? And that is so, it's just so loud. It's just so, it takes up so much more kind of mental space that we forget to notice awareness. I was listening to a talk by Anam Tupton. I've been really enjoying listening to him on Sunday mornings since I've been home. And he gave one recently that speaks to my heart, because he was really talking about how we need to cultivate a real love of awareness. It's not that awareness is difficult. In fact, as he says, and also as Mingyur Rinpoche says, and Ajahn Sumedho, the problem is awareness is so normal and natural. It's so available in any moment, and it's so not special that our habit is to keep the attention keeps getting completely sucked into what's happening. I mean, with awareness, with right view, we want to know what's happening. It's not that we don't know. We know there's seeing and awareness of it. We know there's a sensation and also the awareness of it, right? And that awareness of it is just such a little shift in how we meet experience. And it's so normal that we just haven't learned to really trust it, or more than trust it, to have confidence in the wisdom, the power it has to allow wisdom to arise, the power clear seeing has to free our hearts and minds. Well, yeah, in some cases, but not this. This is too juicy, I need to go be with it. Or this is too painful, I can't be with it. Or this is just too boring, I can't be with it. Or we just forget awareness altogether. And so for me, retreat now, and I hope just to support all of you in that, is to give us a chance to simply have many, many, many more moments of shifting these unconscious habits, of giving all the energy and the interest to whatever phenomena are arising, but giving that same interest and heart to, oh yeah, aware of phenomena arising. It's just, I say it's like just a little like Qigong move, you know, just kind of like Andrea said, a quarter turn. It's difficult because there's nothing there to hold. It's not like, as Ajahn Sumedho says, it's not like Carol Person, can stand behind awareness and see it as an object. That's how we're used to doing things. And I don't know how it's been for you today. I'd like to hear later. But sometimes when we're in practice, just walking or sitting or eating, and you're eating and knowing you're eating, it's so easy for the mind to think, so big whoop, I know I'm eating. You know, this is not deep practice. I'm knowing I'm eating. Yeah, I knew I was eating. You know, what's the difference? Why should I have to go through the day knowing I'm eating, knowing I'm washing? No, it's like, nothing, because we're used to trusting more kind of intense reactivity, intense reaction. In fact, awareness doesn't have reaction at all. This is the difference between, we can know what's happening and not have it be awareness with right view, or awareness with clear comprehension, the way Ajahn Sumedho talks about it. So, you know, as Ajahn Sumedho said, you know, we can know what we're doing. We know that we're eating, we know that we're walking, we know whatever's happening, but it's happening fueled by greed, fueled by wanting, fueled by all the stories about myself that leads to us an inaccurate perception of what's going on. Like the example I gave about getting all upset from a story our mind made up and not even realizing it's a thought happening now with unpleasant feeling that was triggered by the memory of a TV show, but all thoughts happening now. When awareness notices that with right view doesn't try to stop something or say it's good or bad. It's not trying to control experience. Right view is, as Andre described today, is that sense of just knowing what's happening as it is right now. Bear attention without the reactivity. You don't have to like or dislike. You don't have to judge or assess or own or blame or praise yourself. It's so simple, you don't have to do anything. Just trust that awareness, when we're awake, receives whatever experience is arising, which is out of our control. Whatever's arising now is a result of however many conditions came together to arise whatever's occurring in this moment. And in this moment, it could not be different, right? Because it's already happening. It couldn't possibly be different in this moment because it's already here. Awareness is, oh, it's like this now. That phrase from Ajahn Sumedho helps me so much. It's like this now. But our habit is, oh, this is what's happening. Okay, I know, but the awareness doesn't seem clear enough. Maybe if I'm walking, maybe if I could just tighten the attention down a little bit to feel the sensation on the foot a little bit more clearly, then I would know there's really awareness And then I could trust I'm doing it right. And then I could relax. I can't relax now when I'm walking and thoughts are happening and sounds are happening. And I'm not sure if there's awareness or if I'm just making it up. And I don't know, you know, what the heck? I need some sign. I need some proof. I need something to happen. Oh, doubting, wanting feels like this. That's awareness. Just, oh, that's what's happening now. I know I say these things and someone, often people think, I'm practicing for this. I can relax and go, oh, doubting feels like this. I don't think so. I want a little more something than, oh, doubting feels like this. But that is the whole difference between the suffering and delusion of samsara and the ease and peace of the non-deluded heart-mind. We want more than that. And that wanting more is exactly what keeps us suffering. It's exactly what keeps us from recognizing the simplicity of awareness. When in the moment, oh, wanting is like this. It's a sense of complete relaxing into this moment. So awareness with right view is just being with, as Andrea said, without needing to assess, without either accepting or rejecting, or needing to assess at all. It's like this now. In that moment, it's like a, it's a felt, to me, different for different people, like a felt sense of just relaxed ease of presence without struggle, without trying to push away part, or this part's okay and that part's not okay. It's just like this. Maybe I couldn't even say this is doubt. Maybe I don't even know, but it's, oh, it feels like this now. Big confusion. Fine. And the confusion might be unpleasant. The wanting might feel constricted, but that moment of awareness, the awareness itself is not constricted. So I can be with in that, and that's how you really learn to trust. When you're trusting the awareness of, oh my God, I don't want it. It's like, oh, it's like this now. And the stuff keeps happening. Not that sense of if you're doing mindfulness right, all the bad stuff goes away. Have you ever been caught in that particular one? I can't tell you how many, you know, group interviews I've been in and people describe something in great detail, great accuracy, but then right at the end they say, but it's still happening. And we say, yeah. But, you know, and there's that, if I were mindful correctly, this unpleasant experience should stop. Forget about it. It will stop, whether you're mindful correctly or not, at some point. But that's not the point. As Ajahn Sumedho says, you know, with confidence and awareness, one's experience of phenomena, one's experience of life is knowing it, not controlling it. So in a moment of just say relaxed ease into, it's like this now, wanting, aversion, whatever it is, happiness, excitement, love, whatever it is, it may or may not stop happening and it may still be unpleasant or pleasant, but the awareness is just letting it be what it is. Our practice in this simple way of this practice is just to keep giving ourselves moment after moment to remember this awareness so that really we get more interested in the awareness side of the experience than the phenomenon side of experience. What does it mean about me? It's good, it's bad, it's this, it's that. And so say it's a difficult experience, confusion, agitation, aversions like this. And that's still going on. But I know for me, the awareness has been recognized because it doesn't feel like a struggle. It's still unpleasant. It doesn't feel like a struggle. But the next moment, the similarly same experience, confusion, wanting, it suddenly feels like struggle again. Have you seriously get a sense and you think, well, I was aware of wanting, I'm aware of confusion, but somehow it starts to feel like that. And what's slipping in then is just these habits that are so deeply practiced. in that moment, just as Anders, in some way I know then, some wanting it to be different, or some aversion to it, or some identification, oh, this is happening and I'm doing it wrong, has slipped into the mind in that moment without being recognized. So for me, when I start to feel that sense of, you know, it's off, something's wrong, if I have a modicum of awareness, and we don't always, but if I have a modicum of awareness, I'm happy to recognize the struggle. You know, struggle, it's like this. And awareness is here again. So this sense of learning to really have confidence and just that awareness can know anything. And that's what our practice is, not trying to organize the things that are happening so that they're better, so that we can feel like, I'm just talking practice now, we can feel like we're practicing better and we're getting somewhere. I heard one line from Sayadaw Utejaniya, which is stuck in my mind. He says, reality does not have a direction. We're not getting somewhere. There's this moment. As soon as we're getting somewhere, you'll feel that stress. Great, stress is like this. Oh, wanting. So we're not trying to control experience in this style of practice, but to continually find what supports, what conditions support our remembering to recognize awareness, whatever we're doing. So it's so simple, right? It's so nothing. And it's just so easy to forget, to overlook. Because it's that also is just cause and effect. How many mind moments has this mind practice wanting? How much does it come up in a day? I'm not here to hate or judge it, but wanting, just like that. And then noticing how it behaves. Wanting comes up, and sometimes you can watch it come and go, and that then feels, good, I saw wanting come and go, and I didn't act from it, and that's really good. And awareness is noticing, and it feels freeing. And then the next moment, the wanting comes I want to have another moment like that where I really saw wanting and it really felt good and it really saw awareness, but now where's the awareness? I can't see it. Oh, wanting feels like this. I think, but I want to get somewhere. I've recognized wanting, but we haven't recognized, awareness hasn't recognized wanting as many times as we've practiced letting wanting drive the bus, pretty sure. We're so used to it. Reversion drive the bus, or this delusion of not recognizing accurately. So these are just habits of mind. It's cause and effect. It's nothing we as an individual are doing wrong. It's part of our human condition. What we're doing is radical by really stepping into, again and again, committing our heart mind to have confidence in the simplicity of awareness, rather than having confidence in making experience be how we think it should be so we can be happy. And that's hard just because we want something more tangible to trust. So that's just so Anam Tupton, when he was talking about, he said, there's two ways of being in this world. He started this talk. He speaks in a very simple way. I love it. Then all of a sudden I realize he's saying something really quite profound. So, there's there's times there's awareness and there's unawareness. He said, and it does seem as we look around the world that the times and the energy of unawareness seems to be a lot stronger than the energy of awareness taking over. He's looking at the whole world. I just look at my own mind, in my own heart. This is without judgment. Right view, awareness is right view. It's just saying, how does that work? Not bad or good. So a retreat or using this time at home, when I say it's been interesting, it's been just interesting with awareness to watch. What are the habits that kind of, sometimes it's almost done with awareness where the mind, or my attention said, not quite be aware. Let's just go into this other thing. Whereas I could go into the other thing with awareness. Awareness can be with anything. So it's not that you have to abandon awareness to do anything. That's what's so amazing. And I hope you've noticed today, or you know from your past practice, when we're relaxed and aware and things are arising, it's not stressful. It's not tiring. So what the heck is going on? This has been my koan for this year, and it's fascinating. And sometimes I think it's just for me, and it may be different for you, so explore. The energy, you know, the energy it takes to break a bad habit, or just not even break it, but just not to go with the habit in a moment, whatever the habit is. I've noticed it's like that. Awareness isn't effortful, but it's a little more, it takes a little more awakeness than just, oh, let me just slide into dulling out right now. But you know, you can dull out for a second or for an hour. As soon as you think of awareness, it's right there, which is so amazing. So don't be afraid of exploring. Well, what is it? How does it work that these habits of wanting and aversion and dulling out and making up stories is so strong? What is it in the habit of my mind that seems to prefer that to the ease and peace of simple awareness receiving whatever's happening? Huh? So that's our koan, to explore. And I'm not trying to make it depressing. I'm trying to, hopefully I'm trying to encourage us why we need to keep practicing our whole life. But it's not about we have to be on a retreat, but the retreat gives us a little more space. Maybe it clears the decks a little bit, gives us a little less things to pull us out, so we cannot get to some state of awareness and stay there. Never mind. It's about why that right attitude, why view is just, as Andrea said, this investigation. What's it feel like when there's awareness? What's it feel like when it's not there? As soon as you think about it, it's there again. How do we get to know that? And that's what Azanam Tupton was saying. What if he was encouraging? And it's what has been in my heart for a few years, is this sense of really allowing yourself, and this language may not work for you. Find your own language, if any of this is applicable to you, of really loving awareness. I really love the moment of awareness more than I like or dislike or need the reification of what's happening in another moment. And it does start to grow. Or this sense of confidence, having confidence in what Ajahn Sumedho calls intuitive awareness. He talks about that a lot in terms of when something difficult's going on in his personality, you know, or difficult, like say, even on Zoom, one can have difficult interactions, right? And some, or through email, and sometimes it's even worse because you can't really sometimes sit down and talk it through. And so sometimes for me, I'll have something riled up and just be on my own with it and think it through and figure it out and what to do and all of that. And it's painful, really painful. And then to have confidence in receptive awareness with right view means to just, oh, this upset feels like this now. To just receive it with full awareness without having to jump to fix it, which fix it basically means get rid of it, you know, whether it's fix them, fix me, do something so I don't have to feel this mess. But confidence in awareness, not trying to control this moment's experience. And that allows for the clear seeing that actually allows wholesomeness to come in. It allows wisdom to come in, and actually a more appropriate response arises intuitively, rather than trying to figure out through wanting and aversion and fear. Yeah. So, but it takes that confidence, okay, confidence in just this moment. Just this moment. Don't judge the past moment. Don't look for the next moment. So here we're setting up conditions to give ourselves a week to just moment to moment explore, recognizing awareness, recognizing when it's not there. And of course, as soon as it's not there, it's there again. To see how you get caught in looking for it. Oh, looking is like this. Can we trust just walking up and down and you're thinking and seeing. You go, I mean, I've had many moments like this. What am I doing? Just walking up and down, thinking about stuff. Who am I kidding? You know? But awareness can know that. Awareness can know that. The trust, it really takes some. That's really what I mainly just want to encourage us. We don't create awareness. We don't create right view, mindfulness. We recognize its presence, this quality of knowing without the confusion of wanting, of being, of it's all about me, just simple knowing. I don't want to talk too long. So just to say, yeah, that's really just what I wanted to encourage us about. And the knowing includes recognizing what's going on in the mind, you know. So again, whenever you feel that sense of struggle, kind of just, oh, what's happening now? It's kind of, Ajahn Sumedho describes it, just an open listening. What's happening now? And I'll be, aware of this, and I'm aware of that, and I'm aware of what's happening as I'm set, and I'm aware of tension, but I'm really clear, there's no wanting, and just open, receptive, and all of a sudden, when I stop looking and I'm just really present, oh my God, wanting is like a huge thing in the mind. It was so taking over, I didn't even notice it was there. I love that. I love moments like that. Wanting, hello, it's all that's happening right now. But there's awareness happening. It's never all that's happening. So we talk more and more in the instructions tomorrow, different ways of, you know, relaxing into what's happening. But mostly I want to encourage us, and for the rest of tonight and tomorrow morning before we meet again, just notice, you're all here. I was really moved by all of your sharings this morning. It just felt like, I don't know, again, I just loving the Buddha's offerings, loving the potential of awakening, of really freeing our minds, even for a moment, from the suffering of hatred and fear, really opening to compassion and wisdom and metta, and the commitment of all of you, all of us, in our different ways to do this. It doesn't mean it's easy, and even I describe a moment of awareness as so easy. I know very well, being receptive to whatever's happening, a good deal of the time what's arising is really difficult, you know? So it takes this deep commitment on all of your parts, and I know you have it because that's why you're here. So it's difficult, but it's not. So I just want to encourage in this style of practice, the way we're learning from Utejaniya, tonight, tomorrow, sure, there's a couple of formal sittings, and that's supportive to not to get somewhere, not even to get more concentrated, not even to quiet the mind, but it can help. But remember, what's the motivation, the intentionality, the wise view behind all of this is simply just to recognize awareness in the moment, not to make what that moment is better or different. So seeing, whether you're doing formal sitting or formal walking, remember I loved what Andrea reminded us, Utejaniya said, you know, practicing awareness while walking. Or whatever else you're doing. And this is why I love that this is a home retreat, but with support in the sittings and our being together. So when you're making your dinner or eating or washing the dishes or going to the toilet or doing whatever you're doing, if you're living with other people, doing some talking, going on online if you need to, or phone, although I wouldn't encourage it. But the motivation is not to do it right or have it look like the right retreat, but to see for yourself with interest, intelligence, and wisdom, what activities are supporting your remembering awareness as you go through these days. And that could be that going in and doing the sitting, you find, yeah, having nothing else to do but sit is really, you find it helpful. You come out of the sitting and you're remembering awareness a bit more as you go and make your dinner. Wonderful. Maybe you find the next time you go to sit, you're just sitting there completely zoning out. You look like the perfect yogi, but you're basically in daydream land for 40 minutes. some people love those kind of cities because they go by quick. Like, oh, that was a nice city. I was in a pleasant daydream the whole time. Well, I'm aware of it. I do have this daydreaming. We can know what's happening without right view. That's not really balanced awareness. That's like awareness, but unawareness at the same time. So then you might say, oh, right now, I can see that maybe the energy's low and I'm just lost in La La Land. Stand up, go do some walking. Or maybe you go and sweep the porch. Or maybe you go and do some other chore. And actually you find that activity is supporting your remembering awareness in this moment more than the sitting does. There's no right activity, but it's like really looking at what's our motivation. And we'll forget that motivation, you know, oh, this feels good, sweeping, and it'll be helping us be aware. And then we'll forget about being aware. Well, that felt good. Now what can I do next? And what can I do next? And then after a while, you notice wanting of action, kind of papancha of action has taken over and awareness has stopped. And then, oh, maybe I need to just quiet down a moment and sit quietly and awareness, you notice it again. You get a sense of what I mean? So we're really looking at what's my motivation and what helps me remember awareness. And there may be certain activities, the sitting, obviously, it helps many of us much of the time. I find walking meditation helps me a lot. Since I came back from my retreat, first thing I do when I get up in the morning, my mind is not like radiant and pure. I just have to, it might be, I don't see the sky because the clouds are in the way. And so I just get up and do walking meditation, not for an experience, but as a way of affirming my love and commitment to awareness. So I'm just walking and feeling my feet or whatever's happening. I'm not trying to make anything happening, but it's just like I'm affirming my commitment to cultivate awareness rather than just drift into the shower or check my messages. Every morning I get messages from a friend in Burma and I want to check those right away. But they're going to be there in another half an hour. I don't need to check them right away. And I'm just watching what supports awareness. Simple things. So this deep motivation, I just want to offer that to you. Use it tonight. Use it tomorrow morning. Really explore so this trust and love of awareness becomes your own. You have confidence in it. And then you might see certain activities just lead you into getting lost again and again. Maybe they're pleasant. You don't want to judge it. But after a while, as we start loving awareness, I'll start the activity and I'll actually feel the unawareness coming in. And it's not a judgment, but that is unpleasant. Oh, why am I doing this? I just put it down, an awareness of putting it down. Obviously, I do like this because it's usually the phone, right? I'm just putting it down. Ah, here's awareness. Peace again. And then when I'm aware, I'll pick up the phone at a certain time and say, now I need to read this, because we do. But you do it with awareness. And then say, oh, okay, I read that. Maybe I need to check. No, I don't. Put it down. When we start to trust our own deep motivation, and that comes from recognizing awareness and the power of this clear seeing, really trusting that what frees our hearts and minds isn't getting it all copacetic the way we want, but that the avenue in is this wise, right view with awareness that lets us see clearly. And then wisdom comes in and cultivates the wholesome by itself. So that's just some reflections I wanted to offer, hopefully keep you going through the night and tomorrow. And don't look for too much, but one moment of awareness is huge. And that's all we have, one moment. That's all we ever have. So let's just take a moment to be quiet. And then I'd just like to hear from you if you have questions, but I'd also like to hear how you were finding it being at home and going through the day with awareness or not, or remembering. But let's just take a couple of moments to be quiet. And then I'll ask if anyone has anything to share.